Sunday Evangelium with Father Andrew Pinsent on the Credo.
In today's homily, in preparation for the Year of Faith, I want to continue to look at the Creed, and in particular, the first article of the Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. What is often surprising to people today is that the first clause, I believe in one God, is not necessarily a religious statement. Even from a very young age and without any special religious instruction, it is quite common for children to have a natural knowledge of God as being all-powerful and all-knowing. And philosophers have often inferred the existence of God from observing that everything we know of and study is brought into being by other things. Furthermore, it has long been known, and indeed it is one of the guiding principles of modern science, that the various chains of causes and effects in the universe tend to converge. Therefore, even if our detailed knowledge of the steps of the various causal chains fails long before reaching the seraphim around God's throne, the philosopher can still infer that the chain of dependent causes must eventually come to rest in a first cause of all things that is itself uncaused. In other words, the cosmos, the totality of all things that might not have been, has to depend on something that necessarily exists, like the invisible foundation of a house that has to be there to support the house. The inference of this uncaused being is why God's words to Moses are significant, I am who am, implying that he is the one who cannot not be, upon whom all else depends, visible and invisible. If belief in the existence of God is natural to human beings, why then is it widespread but not universal? One reason, I suggest, is the way of life outlined in Aldous Huxley's novel, Brave New World, a prophecy of the modern world. In Huxley's novel, people are constantly distracted by pointless sounds, activities, and pleasures, and are discouraged from thinking deeply about questions of existence and meaning. Similarly today, the cacophony of modern life tends to impede consideration of God, prayer, and deep thought. And this is one reason why the Holy Father has called recently for a conscious effort to create havens of silence in daily life. The second reason, I suggest, is that people find ways of using reason to deny the chain of reasons that leads towards God. Rather like working to remove the rungs of a ladder, rather than climb the ladder. This is the approach of the philosopher David Hume, to give one example. And it is an approach that carries a heavy cost, not only in terms of denying reasons for believing in God, but also reasons for giving credence to much of science as well. A third reason why belief in God is not universal may be the advocacy of an alternative first cause, something it is claimed that can do God's job of creating and maintaining the cosmos without actually being God. Over the course of history, a great many candidates have been put forward for this alternative first cause. But what they share in common is that the godlike thing they propose is impersonal. Instead of a personal God, they propose an impersonal substitute. Now, many of these impersonal substitutes for God are themselves open to criticism. For example, some people claim that some future law of physics will be able to explain the cosmos. But this can never be a satisfactory answer, because scientific laws only describe. They cannot create anything. Many people today also ascribe divine attributes, such as eternity, to the universe of matter as a whole. And that is one of the reasons why the Big Bang Theory, first proposed by a Catholic priest, Father Georges Lemaître, was censored in the world's first atheist state, the Soviet Union. In the light of the history of the 20th century, never let the claim go unchallenged that atheists are the natural friends of science and intellectual freedom. Nevertheless, regardless of the success or otherwise of all impersonal substitutes for God, a deeper problem remains. We are ourselves personal beings, and so it is unsatisfactory to propose that whatever created the cosmos is subpersonal. More specifically, there is a natural desire not only to know that there is a God, but to know God, to be able to relate to God in a first to second person way, as an I to a you. On this point, therefore, the denial of a personal God therefore creates unusual dangers for humanity. If God the Father Almighty, the true God, is denied or rejected, then there is an incompleteness in us, like a house that is left empty. And the problem with leaving a house empty is that it can be occupied by squatters or parasites. To give an example, the lesson of recent centuries is that in those places where Christianity was suppressed, those countries were not left in a state of spiritual neutrality, but tended to end up worshipping something else, often accompanied with a reign of terror. This pattern is a familiar one from the French and Russian revolutions, but can also be seen today in the atheist state of North Korea, which has transferred worship from God to its supreme leader. Even in modern Britain, where many people consider themselves scientific rationalists, our bookshops and high streets are full of paraphernalia relating to spiritualism and the occult. These instances illustrate the general principle that when the master of the house has departed, the spiritual parasites quickly move in to take up residence. These general principles explain, I think, why so much of Jesus' ministry seems to involve this peculiar business of casting out unclean spirits, particularly when he enters regions away from the heartland of Judaism, where the pagan influences are stronger. The good news is that the master of the house has come and spring cleans our souls, casting out the spiritual parasites. These general principles also explain, I think, why the first article of the Creed is so important. As Christians, washed clean of our sins by the blood of Christ, and in union with God through the Holy Spirit, we do not simply acknowledge God's existence, but God the Father Almighty. The word Father, signifying the personal nature of the true God, the God of love, the true spouse of our souls.